professor a whole semester to do? Why don't we do that better? And that connects, as Linda talked about, the Old Testament to the New Testament. That's what they want, because they don't see the relevance and the connection of the Tanakh to the New Testament. And resurrection materials from a Jewish perspective, and not simply retreading. I had a professor at Liberty, Gary Habermas, and he's a wonderful professor, but he challenged me as this person who does Jewish evangelism, and he's an expert in the resurrection. He said, don't just use my stuff, do Jewish stuff. And use Pincus Lapid, who was a Jewish man who didn't believe in Jesus, believed in the resurrection of Jesus, though. Use his materials to show that Jesus did rise from the dead. So we can use Jewish materials and connect millennials to the truth of Jesus theologically. And socially and emotionally speaking, be truthful about modern Israel, the good, the bad, and the warts. Israel, and I love Israel, but it's not perfect. There are flaws. I'm going to tell you a story in just a moment. And be real about missions, the numbers, and our walk with Messiah. David McAllister Wilson, who's a Methodist missiologist, once wrote that millennials have a finely tuned radar for hypocrisy. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Starbucks with a millennial, and I'm going to tell you what church he went to, because this is one of the bastions of Jewish-friendly churches in Dallas. He goes to First Baptist Dallas, and he's decided that Israel is a horrible, hateful country that is mean to all of the Middle Eastern countries. Now, he was born with Dr. Criswell, and he is raised with Robert Jeffers, but he has decided that Israel is the problem in the Middle East. Why? Not because of what he heard in church. In fact, what he heard in church turned him against Israel, because Israel cannot be that perfect. So he went to the internet and found option two, and it sounded more believable to him. So we need to be real about modern Israel, good, bad, and worse. Even because if they feel that we're being hypocritical with them, they'll go to source B, which is the internet, which we know isn't always truthful, and they'll believe the internet over what they hear in church. And then politically speaking, millennials, as Linda talked about this morning, care about the societies less fortunate. And there's some unavoidable truths. Zionism and Israel is portrayed negatively in the media, and this is being filtered down into the Christian media as well. And the Palestinian people, and I capitalize people, are being abused and they're being neglected. Now, they're being abused and neglected by the government, by Abbas and the others in the Palestinian Authority government. But we can't make that argument. We have to admit that the people are being abused and then acknowledge what the government is doing. We can't create an either-or scenario with millennial Christians, or we'll lose them in the long run. Let's admit that the people are being abused and then talk about what we're doing to help the people and what Jewish ministries can. It's not an either-or. It can be a both-and. And even AIPAC is learning this lesson, because AIPAC is losing Jewish young people on the traditional Jewish side. AIPAC is having to rework how they approach Jewish young people. Shouldn't we learn that lesson as well? And then some observations and conclusions before I go to a couple of other final steps. It is time we begin to examine some of our presentations and materials and consider whether it's time to retire them, because it simply doesn't work anymore. Especially as our millennial seminary students are becoming millennial pastors, And we're losing those pastors and churches to groups such as the Wheaton College. I explained this to Martin yesterday. The Wheaton group, as I call them, who are more sympathetic to the Palestinian people. And if we fail to self-examine our motives, the millennials will do it for us, and they won't like what they find. And unexamined Zionism will only push millennial churches and pastors further away from "to the Jew first." Yes, "to the Jew first" is in the scriptures, and I'm not debating that. But if we don't examine ourselves, they'll do it for us, and right or wrong, we'll lose them. So, what can we do better? Because that's the ultimate question. We need to be a safe place to ask questions, and I'm going to give you a church example and some evangelistic examples among Jewish people. And these are just some examples. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's just some examples. Millennials are constant learners. As if you were at the LCJE North America, Scott Nassau did a great paper, and so I borrowed this from him. Should we not be a place where they should learn about Jesus and Judaism? Let them ask, and I know that David and Jews for Jesus did a survey with Barna, and it's not that they don't ask questions, it's they think that we won't answer them, so they've stopped asking. They are constant learners, and we should be the place where they can feel like they can ask the questions and we'll answer them. And millennials are leaving the Jewish and Christian faith because they have been told, "don't ask." And we should be the place where they can freely tell us their doubts because of the mixed messages they are receiving about Jesus and Judaism. We should be the first place they should ask the questions. I'm reading a book right now by Mike Lacona about why does it seem like there are differences in the resurrection narratives. And it's okay to admit that maybe Matthew has a different account from John. And why are there differences? Instead of trying to force reconciliation, I know, bad word again. Why are we trying to force... Murray is leaving. Why are we trying to force something that seems contradictory? Why can't we find an answer where we've tried to force something that's not there? Let's admit that it sometimes seems confusing and work together with them to find a common answer that doesn't contradict Scripture. And 90% of millennials want to make a positive difference in the world. Should we not help them to see that we do as well? Not an either or, a both and. So this is something that, and I've had a lot of my former college students tell me, if I ever go to Israel, Downey, I'm not Amy, I'm just Downey, I want to go with you. And so Dan and I have talked about a Zadaka Ministries J4J tour that we would do together with the students, my former students that I would bring over. And this is some things that we've talked about. An outreach to the red light district in Tel Aviv. Because only in Tel Aviv could you have one side of the street that is Fortune 500 and the other side of the street that is... You can see transsexuals getting off work or going to work at 12 o'clock noon. An outreach to the Eritrean community in Tel Aviv. An outreach, take them to Safat, where they can understand why Jewish mysticism and Jewish Kabbalah and Jewish spiritism is such a heart need of Jewish young people. And then the promise of roughing it and seeing the real Israel. They don't want to go see Catholic church after Catholic church after Catholic church after Catholic church. They want to see real Israel. They want to go hiking in Gedi. They want to go hiking at Tel Dan. And they would love to see the kibbutz and the 1948-1967 battle sites for independence. They want to see real Israel. They don't want to stay in the quote-unquote five-star hotels. They would rather stay in Christian hostels. And so Dan and I have talked about putting together a J4J, a Sadaka millennial tour sometime at the end of this year or at the beginning of next year, and a partnership together so that millennials can see the good Israel, the bad Israel, the warty Israel, and then also help Israel. And then some basic facts before we begin talking about outreach. Jewish millennials love the idea of do-it-yourself Judaism. They don't want to go to synagogue anymore, but they want to maintain the idea of Jewish community. And according to the Jewish Journal of Sociology, they love the idea of having their own minyan, but they want activities and collections and social action and philanthropy. And they look for spirituality and community and combination. And Jewish millennials do not want to be pressured to defend every action that the government of Israel takes. And I don't know how many of you in the States, I do, sometimes it's painful, if you've ever listened to it. But there's a podcast of two Jewish millennials every week. It's 48 minutes of pain sometimes. But there's two Jewish millennials that do a podcast every week called Judaism Unbound. And they just, sometimes it's dribble, I admit it. If you're not a millennial, it seems dribblish. But you should listen to Judaism Unbound every week to understand where millennials where they are and what they're talking about. And so I don't know if you can listen to it if you're not in the States, but if you are in the States, you should listen to Judaism Unbound. So for the Jewish world or community, no man is an island, you can't quite see the quote, but no man is an island entire of itself, because we need to offer community to replace the community we're asking them to leave. And we have to acknowledge that social justice issues are perhaps even more important to Jewish millennials than Christian millennials. Allow them to truly see us engaged in the idea of tikkun olam, even at the level of Jewish evangelism. What J4J is doing in May of 2018 is awesome. The idea of even picking up garbage as they're sharing the gospel is an amazing idea on the streets of Jerusalem. Because it's not about fundraising. And if they can see that we're willing to pick up garbage in the streets of Jerusalem, maybe they'll listen to us share the truth that they can get the garbage out of their soul. And provide non-organizational venues that emphasize the relational aspect of Jesus. That's not overtly religiously oriented and not just for the big purpose, but that they can talk about their spiritual heart. Bodil and I went inside the church here in Haslev a couple of days ago, where there's just a room where they can just sit and think about spiritual things. And I was just touched by, in this Lutheran church, I don't know how many they have on a Sunday morning, but you can just go in any time of the week and just sit and pray and consider spiritual things. Do we offer that to Jewish seekers today? Do we need to? And so these are some of my young people, my millennials, these are some of the examples they came up with. When I asked them, give me some examples. These are some of the examples they came up with. Volunteer as an organization to work once a month holding babies affected with AIDS. You can still do that. Babies born addicted to drugs, or babies born in the NICU for an extended period of time. Because the mother has to work or the father has to work, the babies still need to be held. And so what would it say if we volunteered as ministries to go hold these babies? By the way, Jewish organizations do. Why don't we? Or offer shower or free food trucks for the homeless communities in the area. And Jewish organizations in Dallas are already doing this. Or volunteer to work in after-school programs once a month as tutors. I've been to the JCC where the Jewish Federation of Dallas is already beginning to offer that. What if We as organizations, as Jewish evangelistic organizations, did the same thing. Not as for free publicity, but just to say that we care about Tikkun Olam as well. It might require a little time, a little effort, a little money that we're not going to ever see again, but would it offer them a chance to see that we care about repairing the world as well? And maybe repairing a few souls at the same time. So, some observations. Jewish millennials are creating a DIY Judaism, but they are still involved in the Jewish community. What examples could we give that would motivate them towards Jewish Messiah Jesus? And we might need to consider what future congregations that we might establish that would look different to this millennial generation. Our future congregations that we establish might not look like anything we've ever established before. And these might be scary, but scary is good. So why should we, and what's in it for us? Now this guy back here, probably only Herbie and I know who that guy is. Because Herbie and I grew up with this guy. Does anybody besides Herbie and I know who this guy is? Herbie, do you want to tell him who this guy is?
I don't remember
what he's called.
Okay.
Well, you
can go.
No, you're older than me, so shush. His name is Jot. If you grew up as a Southern Baptist in the 1970s, every Sunday morning after Davy and Goliath, you watched Jot getting ready for church. Jot was taught you all sorts of moral lessons before you went to Sunday school.
You missed out on so much.
You did. Yeah, Jot and Tittle, exactly. But Jot was amazing. Jot taught you all sorts of lessons about don't lie, don't steal. He taught you how to respect your parents. But nobody knows who Jot is anymore. Because Jot went the way of Davy and Goliath. Oh, I know.
And VeggieTales.
Yeah, he was replaced by VeggieTales. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want one day for somebody to go, whatever happened to those organizations that did a lot of good but lost their way? I don't want us to one day be Jot. What's in it for us? Why should we? The greatest man I ever knew was my dad. He died in 2000, and he often would say in his message, in his sermons, the church must never change its message, but it must be constantly changing its methods. And he died 17 years ago. Is that a message we should still think about today? He led me to the Lord when I was 8 years old. He's the greatest man I ever knew. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the church can only defend its own space by fighting not for space, but for the salvation of the world. We have to work together to make sure this happens. So, one last thought, then I'll shut up. Are we prepared and open to future opportunities? And are we ready to listen to the hard issue of this generation? Because the hard issue of this generation is not social justice. The hard issue of this generation is the word truth. Social justice is just the surface. This generation wants truth. And what is truth? It's Jesus. And we can't offer Jesus until we offer them truth. Thanks.